Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, July 6th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. Quite a bit to get into, actually. And there's quite a bit of foreign policy information as well that we're going to try to include today. Not just rattle off at the end, but really make a point to make sure we're aware these things are still happening. Things that we... I just did an amazing interview with Robert Inlakesh that I'll reference later in the show in regard to the Steal of the Century, which is his new documentary on the so-called Deal of the Century. There's a lot going on right now. Interestingly enough, as you are not going to be surprised to hear, a lot of it actually ties back to this main event that seems to be going on, which is important for us to understand. As I said in the beginning, seeing this how this coronavirus topic is just taking up everyone's attention, all the news coverage, but it's important to realize that this is a very, very monumental event. What's happening here, some may even call the end game, right? This is a really big deal. And this ties back into all of it, the foreign policy, the domestic policy, what they're trying to take away from you. So covering this in a sense is covering everything at the same time. But understand that does not mean we should be ignoring the atrocities taking place in Yemen, what's going on in Gaza, all the things going on around the world. Interestingly enough, James Corbett just did a great show or an article video about the UN declaring world peace. It's kind of a parody of what they said that, you know, world global ceasefire, except for everything the U.S. government is doing, is basically what they said, which is just a sick joke because those are the very people causing all the problems around the world. But at the same time, when they said global ceasefire and then Saudis kept attacking Yemen, and we don't care about that though, right? Because that's okay. Even though we didn't mention that, we won't talk about that one because that's a good guy for the US team. Just hypocrisy everywhere. But all of this ties back to what's happening because COVID-19 illusion is the whole point, in my opinion. Not to say that there's not many other agendas and multifaceted types of ideas underneath all of this, but I think the main point is, as we've all been pointing out, is to create this technocratic controlled society, which is what they've been documenting, talking about, saying we should need, trying to make justifications for about 30 years. I mean, or at least probably a hell of a lot longer. But let's just say since I've been doing this, it's been something that's been on people's minds and I've been paying attention to. Now, not only that in this, I think it's important for everybody to understand as we go through today. I'm going to go through a couple of other things that I've already talked about. Some things in regard to the masks and vaccines, but it's really, and the reason I'm going through some of the older stuff is to then finish with the new thing. But it's important to continue that people see that it's not just, oh, here's this one thing that challenges the narrative, but no, here's this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one, and then here's the new one. And that's not cherry picking when we have every single one led up to now, as well as the one in 2019, then 18, then 16, then 15, and they all agree. And then they pick out one thing and says, see, this is challenging. Oh, well, that's cherry picking, right? What we're doing is showing you the broad picture and letting you think for yourself. I know it's just crazy time, right? But I want to start off with a couple of two small things that that sets the stage for what we're going to get into today. Now, one is something that, you know, there's a reason I've been, for the most part, ignored because it's, the one thing I said about it a few shows back was it was just a ridiculous clown shoe, obvious fake news story stemming from two unsourced, unnamed, faceless American intelligence officials. How many times has that worked out for us, right? So at the very least, we should go, yeah, maybe this is Russiagate again. Maybe this is the lies about Syria. Maybe this is the lies about Bolivia. Maybe this is lies about everything they tell us, right? So that's just a joke that we would even pretend this is as real as they're making it out to be. But I want to start out with this. And this is for the people on the podcast. This is in regard to the Afghan Russia bounties on American story that's been, you know, they've been bleeding about and clutching their pearls. How serious this is. Now realize that regardless of real or not, and I'm not even saying I can tell you one way or the other. The point is that we should not be trusting these same people and the same nameless, faceless, sourceless to tell us things about their enemies. It's a joke. Is Russia capable of that? Of course they are. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they were doing that. It also wouldn't surprise me if the U.S. was doing the same thing in places over near them. The point is that this is a lie as far as it's being shown now. Let's be very clear. I think this is an absolute lie. Based on the information, it's even being challenged by their own people now. And I want this to reflect on everything that we've been talking about and everything that we get into in regard to trusting government officials and the intelligence community and, you know, politicized scientists, politicized doctors, and the people in any field, right? The point is you should be questioning all of them, ones that align with your narrative and the ones that don't. not just the ones you don't like to listen to. Now, as it says, according to two unnamed officials speaking to the Times, the memo said the CIA National Counterterrorism Center assessed with medium confidence, right? That was the story from the very beginning, that the GRU offered bounties to the Taliban. So it wasn't even a certainty. They said medium confidence, which means they don't know for sure. And yet all of the mainstream media went on crazy town about this, and Trump knew and he didn't do anything. So how did it jump from we're medium confidence to Trump knew and didn't do anything? Think about how crazy that is. And you know, it's the craziness like this of the two-party illusion that drives me to defend someone like Donald Trump, which I really don't want to do, because I think he's as much a part of the problem as anybody else we're looking at today. But honesty and truth matter. So when they're doing this, you need to realize that they're lying to you. And it's a joke. Okay, but as we go forward, assessed with medium confidence, it says, and it says there are three levels of confidence. This is important to understand. And this relates to everything we're talking about today, as well as Russiagate in particular. Not that we're talking about that today, but, you know, the overall discussions and things that are shown to be false. It says there are three levels of confidence: high, moderate, and low. According to a document from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI, which most people aren't even really aware of, which I recommend you look further into. It's just as nefarious in my eyes as any of the others that we would talk about, maybe even more. But it says it was a moderate confidence level, which is what the CIA and NCC gave to the bounty intel, according to the Times. And this means, quote, that the information is credibly sourced and plausible, but not sufficient quality or corroborated sufficiently to warrant a higher level of confidence, meaning they barely even corroborated the story. It's just plausible. And yet the mainstream just ran with this as absolute fact. Now, alternatively, you can have things like 20 plus whistleblowers in the OPCW, a person from Newsweek, a person from BBC, defectors all across the board, all saying that the Duma was a false flag. I mean, they lied about it, and the U.S. used it to bomb people, and they go, no, fake news. We're not even going to listen to that. Despite there being literally nothing to challenge that except other people saying, you're lying. Yet they're more than happy to shout about this. What does that show you? Not only about the intelligence community, but the media that panders to them. Now, it says a low level of confidence, which the NSA and possibly other intelligence agencies gave to the bounty intel. They didn't tell you that part. Well, some of them might have, but the NSA from the very beginning said this was low confidence, meaning they barely even thought it was real. That means that, quote, that the information's credibility and or plausibility is questionable, or that the information is too fragmented or poorly corroborated to make solid analytic inferences, or that we have significant concerns or problems with the sources. Even high confidence is not a fact or a certainty. And this is according to the intelligence community. So just realize how crazy it is that this is the kind of thing that is used politically. Now ask yourself, do you think they would do the same thing about, I don't know, virus discussions or any other thing that might be sold to you as the most important thing in the world at the moment? The Times story corroborates a report from the Wall Street Journal that said the NSA strongly dissented from the intelligence agency's assessment. The official said the NSA assessed that the intelligence report on the bounty intelligence does not match well-established and verifiable Taliban and Haqqani practices. So why in the world then did it come to you? Why in the world did these other people decide to go, oh, I'm going to say I think it's moderate, which doesn't even mean we believe it, and give it to the media and leak it to them, nameless, faceless officials, and say, look, talk about it. Let's pretend like there wasn't an obvious, glaring, slapping you in the face political momentum there, or motivation. It's ridiculous, right? Now think about that as we go forward into everything else. Right? I mean, it just has to resonate with you that these are the kind of people we're dealing with. And these are the same people, by the way, who are telling you that, you know, you have to wear masks and that it will save your life, except, you know, that trust the science while they're literally ignoring the science. It's a control network. Think about this kind of control network into the technocratic future. That's what they're trying to do. All encompassing. You won't even have ability to respond to it like we do now. That's what they want, because what we're doing is in fact giving them a run for their money. And that can't be allowed because they've got billions and billions of dollars and control and everything invested in this whole thing. Now, the next point I want to get into is just one more small thing that I just want to make again. And this is the same kind of idea. Deception, manipulation. Well, there's this obvious fervor around all of this right now in regard to Black Lives Matter, in regard to the protests, you know, in regard to rioters, in regard to whatever else. statues are being turned. I already gave you my opinion on revisionist mentality, which is just ridiculous. It is history, so it shouldn't be removed. Now, I know people would argue that you don't want to memorialize bad people. Fine. Well, that's a subjective opinion. So you're forcing your opinion on whether these people are good or bad and making an action about it. That's ridiculous. Now, regardless, that's not the point of this discussion. The point is to say this is meant to get you worked up and meant to get you to pick a side. So you divide against the very people who should be with you against the actual enemy. The class war, right? The actual thing, the 99.999% and us. That's what this really is about. So when you see things like this, this is just meant to, this is the other side, right? Now we're seeing Frederick Douglass, historic U.S. black activist statue toppled. Uh-oh, now we've got the evil white supremacist tackling statues from the other side. And now it's just going to get even more intense, right? This is so ridiculous to me. I'm not even saying that this may even be just genuine people getting riled up by the media, understand? Because the media are the ones creating this intensely violent and intensely aggressive race war. Now here's the even more interesting part in all of this. And anarchists, who, you know, Trump and whoever else uses that term in this case, has no idea what anarchism actually means. It does not mean no rules, it means no rulers, and that's exactly why they want you to think it means chaos, but I talk about that all the time. Anarchists have no bounds, Trump rage tweets, after black abolitionist statue torn down. Now, I mean, I don't even need to get into the details. This is just, this statue represents the exact opposite of what they were saying before. Or what they were, the kind of statues they were moving before. Now, recognize that Trump tweets this. This shows that these anarchists have no bounds. Okay, so the immediate assumption, because it's a statue, is that it had to have been the anarchist, which then translates to Antifa and Black Lives Matter in the minds of the people that believe in the riot and Trump and everything else. Without any investigation, without any evidence, just simply because it's no longer there. Does it not intrinsically contradict what we think this represents? No, they're pulling down things they think represent white supremacy. Now, the argument would be, well, they're just too dumb to realize they just pulled it down. The idea is there's no evidence or facts around any of this. It's just simply a missing statue. Could have been the Secret Service that pulled it down, for all we know, to create men. I mean, I'm just making a joke, essentially. But realize the ridiculousness of this being used as the counterpoint to say, look, they're even pulling down statues that represents them. The point is that just because it aligns with that idea, even though they have nothing to back it up, they'll use it, right? Just like today, any video of any black person doing anything suddenly represents Black Lives Matter, or any person who's white doing anything they want is suddenly represents the other side. It's a ridiculous, reductive, manipulative narrative that they're using against you. Be smarter than this. It's just so infuriating. And no, that doesn't mean that there's not actual issues that we need to deal with, such as racism and all these things that are real. But what's happening in front of you right now is the abuse of those things, so you don't see what's being built around you. We have a straight up color revolution happening right now, just like we always told you was going to happen. And all they want to do is point to little clips and videos and say, see, that one guy who did one thing, who doesn't even have anything or represent what you're saying he does, but just because he's a certain skin color, that embodies everything we told you. See, he's mean. He beat that person up. That's what they all do. It's just crazy that we're being driven into this inherently racist sides of these things. And from both sides, right? Both sides of this racial divide are being racist about what's happening. Think about how stupid that is while they're arguing that racism either does or does not exist. Now, I spent way too much time on this already. I always tend to do that when I'm not trying to, you know, open with something small, but these things are really important. They're deceiving you. So you don't see things like this. And it's not just about COVID-19, but it's about what is being built. And the reality that all of this stuff is falling apart right in front of you and nothing's changing. I mean, it's coming out of the woodwork right now. Things are falling apart at the seams and they're still doing things. They're still locking down. They're still removing your rights. They're still passing legislation that enshrines these things forever. And yet all we can do is point and say, look at the statue. And then just make up arbitrary things that we can't even prove. Straight from the president's mouth. Look at the anarchists and what they did because there's a missing statue and I have nothing else to go on. Think about how irresponsible that is. And by the way, it's happening on both sides. But this is huge. COVID-19 close to losing its epidemic status in the United States, according to the CDC, right? So remember, the CDC is the very group who people listen to, amongst others, who started this, who put us in a position to lose our businesses and everything else around us. And now that they're telling us otherwise, why isn't it then coming back? I keep saying this, right? They're willing to remove your entire livelihood based on estimates that showed to be wildly wrong. But now that we've got all the data, more anyway, they're not willing to give it back to you based on those same type of estimates. Maybe it's because the whole point was always about taking it away, never about giving it back. But this is really interesting, the way this dynamic is playing out, because what they're saying here is, in a way, trying to cover up that earlier part they said about the 0.26%. Which totally threw a wrench into their whole argument. So now it's like they're trying to kind of backpedal a little bit, but they still are putting it under the mark of where it was before. Now, look at what it says. Coronavirus deaths in the country have nearly reached a level where the virus will cease to qualify as an epidemic under the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention rules. By the way, I keep forgetting to point this out. I just find it interesting. I've said this before. Why do we